This morning, at some point in time, Rich is supposed to come over to celebrate graduates, and I'm not sure when that will be. So I'm going to he does a closing song at the front porch after the prayer time. So it may be that we do that after the sermon. So I will try and be mindful of that as I preach this morning. A couple of weeks ago, I went to annual conference, and I reconnected with a friend that I hadn't seen in quite some time. And I was struck by, it's a friend of mine, so I know this person, but I was struck again because it had been some time. I saw them the year before, but I didn't spend very much time with them. So it had probably been 2 years since we had a good long conversation together. And I was struck by how negative this person is. Just about everything they say is negative. And it's dark, and they focus on all the problems in life. And I thought to myself, after I was done spending an hour with them, this really affected me. I can feel kind of the weight of that on my soul. Do you ever experience that? When I'm around really negative people for any kind of length of time, it can affect us in a pretty powerful way. The same is true of positive people and people who bring positive things into our lives. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs says this. This is a wonderful verse. It says, pleasant words are a honeycomb. And by the way, it doesn't say honey, it says a honeycomb. And if you've ever seen a honeycomb, it is kind of laden with honey. And when you pick it up, it just kind of drips with honey, the sweetness of it. And so it says, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And one of the things that strikes me about that is this. You and I, when we become tired, sleep can largely take care of that. But when you become spiritually or emotionally tired, it's a different deal. A vacation won't necessarily take care of that. But the Bible says that encouragement or pleasant words are so strong that they can be healing to the bones. It's pretty deep. So I want to start a new sermon series this morning. And what the series is going to be about are some simple things that we can do in life that have powerful effect either for ourselves or for someone else. But because they're simple and because we're busy, we oftentimes overlook them. And today I want to talk about encouragement. And I don't want to simply talk about it the way I often hear about encouragement. The way I often hear about encouragement is this: today I'm feeling sad. I want something that makes me feel happy. That is a kind of encouragement, and that can be a powerful kind of encouragement. But I want to talk about something that I think the Bible speaks about encouragement in a different kind of a way than just simply I feel sad and now I feel happy. And I think if you understand this, it's a powerful, not only a tool, but a powerful gift that you can give to somebody else. One of the times that I was in seminary, I got sent back a number of times, which isn't usually a good sign. You know what I mean? So one of the times that I was in seminary, I had a professor who was a cultural anthropologist. That's even hard to say. And he was really one of the most interesting professors I ever had. And he said to us, it was a group of 20 couple pastors in this room, and he said to us, he said he had spent a lot of time in Papua New Guinea as a missionary and as a cultural anthropologist. And he said to us, one of the concerns that I have about you pastors is this. You tend to focus a whole lot, almost exclusively, on a finish line mentality, which is when someone comes to accept Jesus Christ and comes to a relationship with God. He says, that is critically important. I do not want to undermine that in any way. He says, however, I want to lift up something before you that you need to think about that may be equally important. And he said this, I want you to understand that people are constantly in motion, not physically, but spiritually. They are either moving toward God or moving away from God. One of the two. They're either moving toward God or away from God. I don't know what just happened, Kelly. Well, you can boot it up in a minute. It may not be plugged in. You can check that. So, he said, someone may know Jesus Christ and still be headed away from God. And someone may not yet know Jesus Christ and yet be headed toward God. So he said, I need you to think not only about their eternal security, but where they are in relationship to Jesus Christ. Are they moving toward God or are they moving away from God? That's a pretty powerful thought. And then I begin to think about this. When you and I become discouraged, is our natural inclination to move toward God or away from God when we become discouraged? Is it to become more patient or less patient? Is it to become more loving or less loving? Is it to become more kind or less kind when we're discouraged? And I would say that whether you know God or not, for many people, maybe even most, when discouragement sets in, the very signs that show life with God, we tend to move away from. We tend to move away from peace and love and joy and patience and kindness. And we tend to move in the other direction. And so, there is this very strong sense in which discouragement does more than just make us feel badly. It affects how we act, how we think, the decisions that we make, and how we respond to the people around us. And so the Bible begins to share with us that the idea of encouragement is not simply to get people to go from feeling sad to feeling happy, but encouragement from a biblical standpoint is directional. It isn't just feel better. It is, I want to move you toward where God is. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying so that you understand. Sorry, I'm sure that's... You know, while you're booting that back up, you can unplug the video cable and then plug it back in when you're ready. Or we can just kill... Let's just kill it all together. We can do it without that. We can do it the old-fashioned way. We've done it before without the screen, haven't we? We'll just shut it down. Let's imagine for just a second that we got a group of kids up here, and we asked them, we said there's going to be a race. And we asked them to start here and to run around the sanctuary 3 times in this direction, okay? And I ask y'all to cheer. Now, there's one kid who decides they're going to run this way. Is that a surprise? Now, if we say to them, the way that you win the race is to run this way and finish here. If they decide to run this way, can they ever win the race? They can't. They can't win the race. So if their heart's desire is to win the race, to encourage them when they're running the wrong direction isn't really helpful to them, is it? The most helpful thing to do in that moment is what? Turn them around and say, run that way. There are moments in life when God will not encourage us to continue because we're running in the wrong direction. And he's not going to set up a stand of cheerleaders to say, yay, 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 keep going, because you're running the wrong direction. Encouragement has a directional sense to it by its very nature because of who we are and what we do. And so God, the Bible says that God will encourage us, but there is a directionality to it. Now, let me just take a moment to share with you that there are at least 3 significant things that lead us toward discouragement. One is frustration. And I'm telling you these things because we need to make sure that we watch these things in our lives. As our frustration dials up, so does our discouragement, doesn't it? As our failure grows, so does. And it doesn't have to be something that we've done. If you've ever had 2 major appliances die in the same day, you know the feeling of discouragement. It is part of the definition of discouragement. Definition C is, or two or more appliances die on the same day. Also, fear. Fear causes us to become discouraged because we feel that pushback and we know that we shouldn't be afraid, and it discourages us that we are. So the scripture tells us this, and some of you have your Bibles with you. If not, I'll read it to you, but I'd encourage you to turn in your Bibles because I'm going to use more scripture than just is in your bulletin. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15, it says this. Oh, you got it up? Excellent. I'll tell you what, let me tell you a story and then we'll get to scripture so she can get all set up. I'll give you an illustration of this and we'll go on from there. Chip and Dan Heath tell the story in the book Made to Stick. There's a doctor who went on a cruise. Oh, you got, all right, got it up. There's a doctor who went on a cruise. And he was observing, because he was responsible for quality control in his hospital. He was observing the employees on the cruise ship, and he noticed that they washed their hands more than the people he worked with. A little scary, huh? The minimum rating was an 80%. 80% of the time, when they tested people, their hands had to be clean. And they were right at the minimum, and he wanted 100. So one day, on the way to lunch, he set up a table with auger plates. Those are those Petri dish kinds of things. And as doctors and nurses and people that treat us came in, he made them put their hand on one of those auger plates just before lunch. And then they labeled them with people's names, and they took them up to the micro lab, and they grew them. And then they took pictures of them, and they posted them. And the two worst ones, they made screensavers on every computer in the hospital. And do you know, hand washing compliance went from 80% to 100%. People who knew in their heads had to see with their eyes to know that the very things that they were doing with their own hands were not contributing to what they wanted to see happen overall with their patients. And while that may not seem like encouragement, it was. It encouraged them and motivated them to do what they were otherwise unwilling to do. It was a directional encouragement. You can do this. You can help. You can move us to where we need to be. Pretty powerful thing. So, you have Second Thessalonians. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or letter. So he's saying, look, move toward God. Hold firm. There is a tendency in life to drift. Without any kind of energy, we will drift away from God. You have to put energy into relationships. You have to work at it. Can I get an amen from somebody who's been married for a little while? You do. You have to work at relationships. This is how it is. And he's saying you have to stand firm and hold on to the teachings that God's given you. They will guide you in the relationship that you have with God. And then he says, what a powerful image this is. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself. By the way, the picture here is Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And God our Father. So the two of them, right on the throne of God, who loved us and by his grace gave us, look, eternal encouragement. And good hope. May those two encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word. So here's the picture. Jesus is on the throne speaking to the Father about encouraging you. Now, his encouragement to you is not just feel better. It's to hold on to the teachings of God, to strengthen you to do good works and to serve God. It's a directional kind of encouragement and a powerful thing. Now, I want you to think with me, in the past month, how many of you have experienced conflict, sleep deprivation, criticism, conflicting expectations, the failure to please somebody, the failure to please everybody, time around people who are difficult, financial struggles, long days of work? All those are contributors to discouragement. And all those encourage us in some way to respond to them, oftentimes in the wrong direction, because discouragement is painful. It never comes at a good time. Have you noticed that? Discouragement always shows up at the wrong time. If it would show up when you're happy, it would be easy. It shows up when you're tired and you're overwhelmed and you're dealing with conflicting things. I try not to do this too often, but the Greek word for encouragement, and I'm not even going to tell you what it is because it doesn't matter. You won't write it down and you won't care. If you wrote it down, what would you do with it? Let me tell you what it means. They would use this Greek word when there was a battle, when somebody was engaged in the middle of a battle. And by the way, when you're discouraged, that's what you're in the middle of, a battle. When you look up and you realize there's an army of reinforcements coming. That's how they use the word for to encourage. When you look up and there's an army of reinforcements pouring down the hill towards you. What an image. So, Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, and I'm just gonna highlight this. I don't have time to spend on the whole passage, but Jesus in Luke chapter 10 has sent out 72 people to do ministry. And when they went out, he gave them specific instructions. You know, don't take a lot of stuff with you and minister in my name. You know, if people don't welcome you into their house, shake the dust off your feet. And it says in verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus replied, talk about a word of encouragement. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven because of what you did. What he's saying is, Satan got his butt kicked so hard he fell out of heaven to earth. That's the imagery he's trying to share. That's how far Satan fell because of what they did. Can you imagine if you did something for Jesus and he said, man, you can't even imagine how significant was what you just did. If Jesus himself came to you and said that, what you did was huge. And it goes on to talk more about the encouragement that he gave them, but Jesus, he would do this from time to time. He would sit down and he would tell people, you are doing the right thing. He would encourage them. He would encourage them in a different direction than where they were going. He told the woman at the well, you are so close to love. I just want to encourage you. You're so close to love, but you don't get what love is. God is right here waiting for you. And he said, look, you want water from this well. I will give you water that will never leave you thirsty again. Come. Come. Now, what oftentimes happens to us when we don't get encouragement is that we can drift toward destructive things. And in Hebrews, would you put up Hebrews chapter 3 for me? In Hebrews chapter 3, this is what the author of Hebrews says. See to it, brothers, that none of you has sinful, unbelieving hearts that turn away from the living God. See, here's what happens to us in life. When hard things happen to us, we have a choice. We can either turn toward God and move through these hard things, or we can harden up ourselves. And I want you to think for just a moment, because I would guess that nearly everybody in here has something in their lives where they can think back and someone said or did something that at a minimum the words or that event still reverberates in your soul. And see, God wants to heal that. But in the meantime, what we oftentimes do in response is we build walls. And the more we hurt, the higher we build them and the thicker we build them. And as we wall off other people, I don't know if you know this. Have you ever looked at somebody? There are people I look at and I say to myself, I don't even know them, and I say to myself, that is a hard person. That person has become hardened in life. It's written on their face. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like they have a permanent scowl. They have anger lines on their face. I know other people, I don't know them, but I look at them and I see smile lines on their face. I see joy in their eyes. And that's because over time, we have the opportunity to either move toward Jesus Christ and freedom and healing, or move away and embrace hardness and bitterness. And over time, it calcifies and it makes us become hardened. And He warns us that we should watch an unbelieving heart that turns away from God. Instead, we're to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. See, we have that opportunity. And not only do we have that opportunity within ourselves, but we have, and this is what's so powerful for me, we have the opportunity to encourage somebody else who's in a hard moment. Somebody handed me this letter in this church and gave me permission to read it. I want to read it to you. It says this: I'm sorry it's taken me so long to send this note of thanks. I can't believe how the days have slipped by in a blur of doctors, hospitals, endless chores, and feeling crappy. Their words, not mine. Please know that in all of that, I think of you too, so often lifting you up in prayer. I thank God for the blessing that you are in my life. I wanted to get you a card, but they don't make one for what I wanted to say, and who knows when I'll get out shopping. Today, something happened. I had to write you guys. The person who handed me this said, you can't believe what happened in this person's life. Pastor, I can't believe how God did this. Listen to this. As I sat thinking and praying about what I wanted to say to convey what I was feeling, all I could think was how much your love changed my life. I do not come from a Christian background, and I believe that the main reason my family struggles, that's the main reason why my family struggles with love. The love you have freely given has broken my heart so many times in the past year, beginning with your wife's offer to allow me to stay with you. Then, the gifts that you gave us. You have no idea how broken I was the night that you called and how you gave me strength to keep on fighting. There were other calls or hugs. There was some money. Right at a time when I'd spent money on medicine and didn't have any gas for money to commute to the hospital to visit my mom. You visited her more than my family did. And just loving us, the knowledge that someone is there that I can reach out to and trust that they will be there in whatever capacity they can, is a comfort I've never known, and your example of it on earth has given me a better understanding of how God loves. When I came to First Church looking for a church, what I found was a family I've been longing for 30 years. In 1981, a family member from Oklahoma flew me down for a while, and I was introduced to God and a loving way of life that I never experienced, and I never wanted to leave. I was saved that summer and baptized. I came home, and my parents accompanied me to church for a while. My mom even got baptized. But we only attended for a short time before Dad decided we would stop coming. Since then, my life has been a struggle to find a place in my family and in God, and I'm ashamed to say that it did not always go as it should. Over the past 2 years, my family has seen me live how I wanted to live for 30 years, and it's been an adjustment for us all. But today, I went to spend time with God. And at the very same time, my daughter picked up a Bible and did the same. Right beside me. And I wept and thanked God as I thought of you and your loving ways. Now, the person who handed this to me said this: the things that I did were so small, Pastor, and it changed the direction of their life. What I want to share with you is this. If you're discouraged today, God wants to encourage you. He wants to encourage you to come to Him. Not just to feel happy, but to be healed, to walk in joy beyond your circumstances. And I want to remind you that you and I have the opportunity to encourage someone else in the smallest of ways that can literally change the direction of their life. And we'll have opportunities all week, probably for the rest of our lives, to do that. You may not ever get a letter like the letter this person got, sharing that with you. You might. But it does affect people dramatically. And I want to remind you that it's a simple thing sometimes to bake a pan of brownies, to send a card, to remind someone of a word of Scripture, to give someone a hug. It's a small thing that God can use to do big things in people's hearts. Ask yourself the question, do I see someone moving in the wrong direction because they're discouraged? And is there something small that I can do that can dramatically affect that? Let's pray. Gracious God, we want to take a moment to thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. The book of Acts talks about how Paul went place to place encouraging people because it's such an incredibly powerful thing. We want to take a moment to celebrate you and your work. We want to thank you that the Scripture says that Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on our behalf, speaking our name into your ears, Father, asking you to do good things for us. If there are people who are here discouraged today, and they're seeking your face, God, I pray that you would encourage their hearts. As we go through this next week and the weeks to come, give us the eyes to see opportunities to be there for the people around us, to encourage them, maybe even daily. Sometimes we need it daily. It may be one of the things that moves people back toward Jesus Christ, whether they know Him or not, that softens hearts, that corrects attitudes, that makes us more like Jesus. Simple acts of love and encouragement that come alongside when someone's in the middle of battle. Thank you for the opportunity to be your hands and feet, Father. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.